Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Death. What comes next after death? You probably don't think that that's the focus of such a celebratory day as Easter, but my friends, that is the exact point, because we get a clear answer of what comes next after death. You know, in my early years of ministry, I got a phone call from a member that was a member in the congregation that I was serving, and he called and said that he was near death. That surprised me, because these were the years that he was supposed to be comfortable, relaxed, and perhaps enjoying that special time in his retirement with his wife. See, he had worked 35 years as a police officer. He had skirted death many times before, being involved in car chases, tracking down criminals and burglars, and also just experiencing the overall stress that comes with being a police officer. And yes, in his retirement, he thought he could relax and enjoy time with his wife. That all suddenly changed. You see, he was leading a procession, a funeral procession, on his motorcycle through the streets of Jacksonville, Florida. And as he was leading, another car came into the intersection going 40 miles per hour and hit him T-bone style. When I got to the hospital, it was clear that, yes, death was very close. And with the few breaths that he could give and the questions that he asked, it really boiled down to this: Pastor, what is next? What is next after I die? His wife, too, was concerned about that question, what is next? She had different plans to spend with their children, plans to spend time with their grandchildren, plans to travel. But in that instant, it changed. She was worried about what her next was, but especially what his next would be after death. Now, as you plug in and tune in here this morning, you're probably sitting on your couch or on your chair with a cup of coffee, enjoying the morning and the beautiful day that we're having, perhaps if you're plugging in from Oregon, how wonderful it is around us. But friends, it's important for us to think about that question and to have a clear answer. What is next after death? There are tons of answers out there, by the way. Some people say that what is next is absolutely nothing. After we die, we just simply decay. Our works and production go on, but our essence just ends. Death is the final destination point. Death is it. By the way, surveys say that 23% of people in the United States believe that's the answer for what is next. Some say that they'll be a ghost. They'll come and they'll go, but they're very limited on what they can do. They're kind of like the morning mist that comes early but fades away later. But you see, as a ghost, their essence really isn't there. Some people say the next is that they will be reincarnated. A cow or a crow or a waiter at the local restaurant down the street or something like that. The point really is this, that the next is that you'll be a mortal person or animal and the cycle will repeat over and over and over again. Check this out. 51% of people in the world today have that as their answer for what is next. Some people say that they'll become a particle out in the universe where they came from before. Some people say they absolutely have no idea. At least they're being honest. 25% of people in the United States actually hold that position. These answers are based on hunches, on dreams, on feelings. My friends, today we have an answer. And the answer that Christianity gives us is very different. It's not based on a hunch or a feeling or a dream. It's based on a historical event that happened over 2,000 years ago. It's reality. And it's based upon our reading this morning from John chapter 20, where the resurrected Jesus went out and met Mary Magdalene. This was a moment where a person who had died, Jesus, lived again. And in that moment, Jesus gave Mary Magdalene, and he gives each one of us something that we can anchor to, something that we can have an answer to for what comes next after death. Why Mary Magdalene? Why did Jesus first appear to her, of all people? I mean, why not Peter, the leader of the pack, or James and John, the guys that had the reputation, and they had a family business that was well known throughout the land. They were the sons of Zebedee. Why Mary Magdalene? Now, we don't know what her answer for what would next be after death, whether she believed in reincarnation or if she'd be a ghost. The Bible doesn't detail the philosophies that she held close to her heart or those hunches or feelings. We don't know those things. But what we do know is this. Mary Magdalene had anchored herself to things that would never really help her in life. Luke chapter 8 says that early on in her life, she had 7 demons cast out of her body. We don't know what those demons were, but here's a hunch. Perhaps anxiety, depression, sorrow, pain, anger, isolation, fear. We know for a fact that she was anchored to sorrow. She was with Jesus when he gave his miracles and when he shared his stories, when he healed those that needed his touch. And then she saw how he died on the cross. She came to the empty tomb filled with sorrow. We also know that she was anchored to fear. If the authorities had gone after Jesus, they were also coming after her. Undoubtedly, she was anchored to regrets, perhaps past decisions that she had made. Mary learned that it was never good to anchor yourself to something that was weak, that really couldn't help you in life. But my friends, in an instant, that changed. Jesus sought her out. Mistaking him as a gardener, she finally realized that it was Jesus when he spoke her name. He said, "Mary." And in that moment, Jesus gave Mary Magdalene a clear answer of what she should anchor her life to, his death and his resurrection. It wouldn't just be a hunch or a whimsical thought. It was something that she could hold on to for the rest of her life and have confidence. My friends, this Easter is an opportunity to have a Mary Magdalene moment at the tomb. It's an opportunity for us to take a look at what we have anchored our lives to. You know, a few years ago at Peace Lutheran Church, we placed this cross into the mounds right outside our back patio that we had just placed and were very proud of. This cross was a gift from a local business for the project that we did. Yeah, it was about 4 years ago. We were very proud about this cross and actually about the whole project. It was actually about 2 or 3 weeks after we had placed the cross into this mound, you see, that I got a phone call from the local retired Baptist pastor in Philomath. He had served for plenty of years in Philomath. Many of you know him. Pastor Alan Stensfall. When he called, he said that he had a concern. I thought, was it over doctrine? Perhaps we had said something about the Lord's Supper or about baptism? Absolutely not. His concern was this. He called and said that the cross that we had just put in was off kilter by 2 inches. What? 2 inches? I didn't recognize that. I had no idea that it was off. But sure enough, I grabbed my tape measure, went out, and a few of us measured, and it was off by about 2 inches. To correct that, we didn't do some things. We didn't get to the top of the cross and hammer it with a hammer and knock it back into place. Didn't do that. And we didn't go to the middle section of this cross and push it back so that it would be straight. No, we went to the base and the foundation, what it had been anchored to. And we re-anchored it with the right thing, with concrete. And over 4 years, this cross has not moved. It's been firm. and steadfast. Friends, this Easter is an opportunity to be redirected or straightened or to be re-anchored or anchored once again in what is steadfast and immovable. When the coronavirus hit our country about a month ago, it really was an opportunity for us to see what we had anchored our lives to. I discovered what I was anchoring my life to, that orange basketball that got me through many of the winter months. Twice a week I used it. I have not picked it up over the last month. This was supposed to be the time that we were to enjoy the Oregon State Beaver women making it through the tournament, and this was to be the celebration. Not happening. Perhaps you've anchored your life to entertainment, shows, or going out and having fun with friends. That hasn't happened. Or anchoring yourself to a local restaurant or your favorite place to go. It hasn't happened either. And then after a couple of weeks of this pandemic, you see, those demons of Mary Magdalene begin to show themselves. And perhaps you anchored yourself to one of those, anxiety or depression or anger or stress or isolation. My friends, Jesus is here to straighten us and anchor us in his death and resurrection. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive, and it means that we have a clear answer for what our next is going to be. It's not a hunch. It's not a dream. It's not something that we just thought up off the top of our heads. It's something that actually happened 2,000 years ago. And the reality of it is that our answer is that we will live with Jesus after we die. The Bible calls Jesus' resurrection the first fruit of the resurrection of the dead, which suggests there will be much more fruit. You and I will get to live again and live with Jesus. Okay, Pastor, great Easter message. I get it. We have an answer for what happens after death. But what difference does this make for how I live today? It makes a huge difference. One of my favorite movies is the movie As Good As It Gets, starring Jack Nicholson. And he's kind of a cranky old man who expresses his dissatisfaction with everything in life. He thinks that the piranhas in the Amazon River, for example, are going to come and eat him up, even though he lives in urban New York City. He has some quirkiness about him. He doesn't like to step on any of the cracks of the sidewalk, and he doesn't use a bar of soap a second time, just throws it away. He goes to the same restaurant every single day and orders the same thing from the same waiter, from the same table. Halfway into that movie, he has time with his psychologist. And in that moment is when he gives an amazing line in movie history. He says, as he thinks about his miserable life, he says this: "Is this as good as it gets?" And then he stares in his Jack Nicholson way. Is this as good as it gets? In other words, he's looking at his life and he realizes that what he's anchored his life to is weak and really won't help him in life. My friends, you are no Jack Nicholson. You are anchored today with something that is immovable and steadfast and firm. And it's not to negate the problems that are going on, the stress and the anxiety. These are real and they're here. But when they come, we don't say that phrase, "Is this as good as it gets?" We can actually say the exact opposite. Is this as bad as it gets? Because the life and death, the death and life of Jesus changes everything. Your next after death is better in so many ways. You will receive an inheritance and reward better than anything that you've received here on this earth. You will have a place in heaven, John chapter 14, a place in the mansion of heaven that is better than any place that you've lived here on earth. you will have a life with purpose and meaning and fullness that you never had here down on earth completely. You will have the presence of God, the full presence of God. Here we just get a glimpse and a taste, but there you'll have the fullness of God. So there you have it. We have a clear answer for what our next is. It's life. And when we experience those tough things, we can say that phrase, is this as bad as it gets? It's only going to get better with Jesus. Now we want you to think about this for a moment here with this question that we're going to put on our production here. Think about this for 20 seconds, and then we'll come back and I'll offer a prayer for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the difference that you have made in the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, we pray for a change of heart, that those things that we've anchored to would go away and that we would be firmed up with the anchor you give to us in the death and life of Jesus. May that lead us to always say when we experience hardship, is this as bad as it gets? We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the life he has and for the life he gives to each one of us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.